Welcome to San Francisco City Insider, the San Francisco Chronicle podcast on the people and politics making headlines in the city by the bay. I'm Chronicle columnist Heather Knight, and I'm here today with Ravina Rahal and Pollock Shaith. 3 years ago, they were outraged by the election of President Donald Trump and founded the Post-March Salon, or PMS, which, wink, wink, meets at the same time of the month every month. It's a group of women who find ways to engage in politics, education, and community volunteering, and try to find silver linings in today's bleak political landscape. Pollock Shaith and Ravina Rahal, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Hello.
You both have impressive resumes, and I wondered if you could each take a minute to give me your quick biography.
Thank you so much for having us today. This is Pollock speaking. I am part of the global public policy team at Instagram. Prior to this job, I worked at the San Francisco City Attorney's Office for the previous 5 years as the managing director of their affirmative litigation task force, and enjoyed actually suing Trump quite a bit on on policies that we value here in San Francisco.
Great. And Ravina?
Hi, Heather. Thanks for having us. My name's Ravina. I am a physician, currently not working as a physician, home with my kids and doing a lot of community work. Previously worked as a hospitalist at CPMC and then did a 3-year stint in telemedicine.
So you both participated in the first Women's March, which was 3 years ago now, right after Donald Trump was elected president. But as I understand it, you didn't want to just end your activism that day, but created something new out of that march. Can you talk about what inspired you to want to march in the first place and then how you came up with PMS?
I'll take the first part. So I think along with many of our friends and family in Bullock, I was outraged and angry after Trump's election. But I was also motivated to do something about it. And as a result, I decided to march. Bullock and I went together. And in that, in the rain, we were discussing how do we sustain this motivation that we were feeling amongst our friends and family. Everyone was suddenly awakened. And how do we keep this going? And so we decided to just assemble a group of our friends the following month in February. We met in Bullock's apartment and we took it from there.
Yeah, that's right. For me, what was notable was that despite the heavy rains, there were thousands and thousands of people outside, and you could feel this like collective rage, which was amazing. But having been an activist previously and really most of my career, I always recognized that without some kind of like consistent organizing and without it being somewhat social, it really does fade. I mean, how many of us are still using all of those apps that came out like ResistBot and everything the weeks after the election? And so Ravina and our, my sister are both in the public health space. They're both mothers. And I understood their desire to really make sure that this wasn't going to happen again. So we came up with PMS. The name itself, I think, was part motivation in that we were like, okay, well, we can meet at the same time.
Were you feeling cranky?
Well, we were gonna, you know, reclaim all of our like female power, which includes our PMS.
Yeah. So exactly what is the Post-March Salon? So you meet monthly. Where do you meet? How many people? What do you talk about?
Yeah. So so I think when we say salon, just to be clear, this is kind of a nod to like the 18th, 1900s where people would host salons, presidents would host salons where they invite people from different backgrounds so that they can engage and educate each other on their different areas of expertise. Presidents would invite artists and architects, philosophers, so on and so forth. The idea was that we keep these intimate and we actually build community. If you remember, you know, in the previous 10 years, the 2016 election, we were all kind of online reading and consuming most of our political information. And the idea here was to take it offline so that we actually could understand what we were doing. We were pretty intentional about keeping it female only. And the reason for that is that we were meeting at people's homes.
Does it rotate month to month?
Yes, yeah. It definitely rotates. It's unsustainable otherwise. It's completely voluntary. We were meeting at people's homes. Oftentimes, the host would make dinner,
Nice.
Which is really nice. And in the beginning, we kind of we started with this idea that we would have it be like a donated dinner. So you would attend. The host would either cook dinner or provide dinner, and then you would donate to whatever organization the speaker was from. Whatever amount you thought you would have paid for that dinner.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. And the whole purpose of it being female only is that I think one observation that we had was that women generally don't feel necessarily confident to go out there and speak about issues that they don't feel like they're educated on. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes when you're in a room full of both men and women, and there's a speaker, a lot of men are quick to kind of raise their hands to ask questions. Mm-hmm. And so we really wanted to make this an environment where people who have never learned about this specific topic could feel comfortable to ask questions and really gain some understanding about it.
So what subjects have you covered and who have been the speakers?
I can take this one. Yeah, no problem. So yeah, we kind of like talked about what we would talk about. Mm-hmm. So in terms of the speakers, it's been a wide range. It really does reflect the interest of the membership. I like to think of it as like think globally, act locally. So mm-hmm. we focused on very local issues. But in the very beginning, the first couple of salons, we actually focused on the issues that were catching national headlines. So I think the second month that we met was Trump was trying to pass the America's Healthcare Act. And we brought in a friend of a friend who was in-house counsel at Sutter Health to walk us through what the AHCA was, what the ACA was, and what the differences were. Mm-hmm. Right after that, there was the Paris Climate Accord. We brought in someone from NextGen. So these were kind of like national topics that people were learning about and hearing about, unsure what they felt about, and then we were trying to provide information about what we should think and what we should value.
Mm-hmm. And actions we can take.
And absolutely. And each one, we also always made sure we took some sort of action. I will say within this first 6 months, when we asked each other what we cared about, it's hard to not live in San Francisco and care about local issues, especially homelessness here mm-hmm. in San Francisco. And although a lot of us care and are already active in supporting organizations that are out there, we wanted to bring in someone that I think, like us, was a transplant from another city, but didn't just come here, look at the issue and think about it and maybe do a one-off service event. We met Megan Freebeck mm-hmm. from Simply the Basics, now CEO.
She's great.
She's amazing.
I wanted to get her on the podcast. Megan, if you're listening.
Yes, definitely. She's amazing. And she's actually a great story for us because I met her at a friend's place who would volunteer with her. After meeting her, I invited her to speak at PMS. That was one where she spoke about this idea of our neighbors in need and treating them with dignity, and the change that we can make that we don't necessarily think about, like talking to people, smiling at people, asking them what their name is, so on and so forth. We made hygiene kits that day. It was a very on-brand PMS type of female hygiene kits. And then afterwards, when I sent her an email to thank her for coming, she immediately responded and said, "Can I join PMS?"
Oh, cool. So is she a member now?
She is a member. She's a member. And that's kind of something that's recurred from a few times from different speakers.
Do you only have female speakers?
We've only had female speakers, but we have had fundraisers for men.
Mm-hmm. We've had a couple of people come speak.
Actually, that's true.
What was his name?
Oh my God, that's horrible.
He ran for
treasurer
in California.
Oh. It starts with a V.
Why am I forgetting his name? He did not win.
Yeah. Okay. We've had a couple. And we also are very first. So most of our salons are private. And we're open in that anyone can join PMS, but we're not broadcasting our salons to everybody because uh-huh. they are people's right. homes. But we do have public-facing events, too. Right. And that includes the fundraisers and also mm-hmm. the service. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then men are welcome to the public facing. Okay, we don't exclude.
After 3 years of the salon, are you feeling better or worse about the Trump administration and the state of our country? Has the rage amplified or simmered down?
I think initially we were working up. Our first goal was to work towards 2018 midterm elections. And so a lot of energy went into that, and a lot of us worked on local races in District 10, and we were able to flip that district blue. I think after that, there was burnout. Would you agree?
I think there was political burnout, but we, and this is something else that PMS has kind of been able to endure, like the dips in political activism where maybe other organizations haven't. Because that's just one of the buckets that we really mm-hmm. consider the pillars of PMS, we don't necessarily just meet to do phone banking and canvassing, which can be exhausting. And I don't think everyone identifies with,
right.
And especially the people that we're targeting. We do a lot of other things that are, again, reflective of what members want, including local service and even just female empowerment, mm-hmm. I would say.
I'm happy to talk a little bit about the local service
sure.
if you want. That's one of the three pillars of PMS. And so salons being one of them, inviting speakers, political activism, and then the community service and community engagement piece. So as she mentioned, Megan is a member of the organization. We've done work with Simply the Basics. We have consistently volunteered at local homeless shelters serving meals. In addition, we work to support women-owned businesses in the Bay Area. So we've hosted a salon at Old School Cafe, run by Teresa Goins, who's an amazing woman, who should also be on the podcast.
Yes.
She's phenomenal.
Learned about the work that she's doing and then supporting her by hosting her salon there. And then we also have an annual holiday salon where we do a White Elephant gift exchange that supports women-owned businesses in the Bay Area. And therefore, we've kind of created a list of women-run businesses and women-owned mm-hmm. businesses that we can kind of support.
That's great.
So locally, that's what we've been doing. Oh, we've also done environmental work.
With
the Audubon Society.
Exactly, over the summer. Mm-hmm. And I want to just make a quick plug for Teresa and Old School Cafe. Her restaurant is in the Bayview. They hire all formerly incarcerated juveniles and give them marketable skills. Mm-hmm. And when you take 20 women that have probably some of them never been to the Bayview to have dinner there and experience, it's amazing, kind of like great food, great environment. It wasn't just a one-off thing. It completely had a ripple effect. People went back with their schools, their birthdays, and things mm-hmm. like that. So, it's mission forward in, like, every way we can think of.
Yeah, that's great. Are you going to be marching again this year?
We're definitely going to be marching mm-hmm. again this year. For those of us that are in town, I hear that it's a big – there's a lot of private schools in San Francisco that apparently have, like, school days off.
It's just – well, it's MLK weekend.
It is MLK weekend, but
a lot of people go skiing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I think somebody had mentioned that they also have that Tuesday off, so it becomes like a mm-hmm. longer weekend.
Yeah. Yeah.
To go back to what you said earlier, though, about the rage and whether or not we are more or less this year, I'm really encouraged. If we think about it, this is not one of those ideas that we had really well thought out. We just started it from a need to do something. And the fact that we're still here 4 years later is encouraging. Mm-hmm. And it's only because members want us to be here, not necessarily that we're like pushing it forward. And most recently, one of our most active members actually decided she was going to run for local office, DCCC.
Who's that?
It's Nadia Rahman. She's running in District 19, 8019. And this is someone that has a digital communications background. She's a business school graduate. She had been passionate about these issues, but just started her activism after Trump was elected. Mm-hmm. Truly recognizing that she's from Texas, and now I'm giving her major plugs here. But really, you should hear more about her because it's motivating even for me.
Yeah.
And I've worked with her for the last 2 years almost. But it's motivating even for me to see someone take the short amount of time that they've been civically engaged and use that as a way to get more people out there. Mm-hmm. She does a great job of it on her social media, and now she's going to do an even better job of it, hopefully, when she's elected.
That's great.
I'm Heather Knight, and I'll be right back with the founders of the Post-March Salon. I'm back with Ravina Rahal and Pollock Sheikh. Do either of you have a favorite presidential candidate?
I've actually was burnt out after 2018, and there were so many candidates in the field, and I am actually irritated by the number of candidates, and so I am actually waiting for democracy to do its thing, and when the candidate's chosen, I will hustle hard, but mm-hmm. I'm not getting too involved right mm-hmm. now in the primaries. I just can't. I'm saving my energy.
Yeah, I think that's smart, and I actually think I wish more people did that. I am really, really into Andrew Yang. Having gone to law school, I love Elizabeth Warren. I love Booker. I love Kamala Harris. But I find him to be a contemporary, someone who could be a friend that's just exceptionally smart, but actually really discussing issues that I think we don't as lawyers definitely, but even as policymakers discuss enough mm-hmm. on the national stage that really did impact people. I'm originally from Michigan. Michigan is now a purple state. It went red in 2016. A lot of that flipped in 2018, but it is very much up for grabs. Mm-hmm. And when I think about who can win there, the pool is a lot smaller.
Mm. And what will you do if Trump is reelected?
I don't even want to think about that.
Can't go there.
I know. Mentally, I just...
we're manifesting the... we're going to just manifest a different reality.
I mean, Yes.
We'll keep working.
Yeah. I mean, that only strengthens the need for things like PMS, I think. Mm-hmm. Trump's reelection is not.
One thing I've learned after starting PMS is the importance of local politics. And I had no idea. I was not as civically engaged as Bullock before PMS. But just knowing, understanding the need to be involved on the local level. And so I think I would kind of focus my energies there and just keep working and plugging mm-hmm. away there.
Well, that segues perfectly into my last serious question, which is, would either of you run for political office one day?
I would not.
I think you would, Paula.
I would for a place that I feel very passionate about and that I want to fix. And so San Francisco is, I mean, having worked for local government, I love this city. I think we're a laboratory for so many amazing, interesting things. And the rest of the country and the rest of the world really do follow suit. I think of myself as more moderate than the average San Franciscan, frankly. And so my likelihood of winning here might be low, if I'm completely honest. And I kind of really relate to and have been somewhat involved, but want to be more involved with Michigan and bringing back what makes, I think, people from Michigan really passionate about being from there. Mm-hmm. So, yes. Ideally, I would in some different phase of life.
Okay, I think city commissions would be something I could get involved
yes,
in.
Yes,
something locally without running.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Well, you survived the serious questions, and now it's time for the lightning round.
The real hard part.
Yes. Politicians have been known to freeze up on these, so, but regular people do better.
Which are you?
I'm definitely a regular person. You're a politician. Even if I do run for office, I don't want to be a politician.
You can take turns answering back and forth. Where is your favorite place in San Francisco to get a burrito?
Papalote.
Oh, interesting. I would say Los Taqueria Los Coyotes, but strictly because whatever the first restaurant is that you go to, like on Mission Street, I think you have a tendency to go back to. And so I had my very first veggie burrito there, and I loved it.
What is your favorite movie filmed in San Francisco?
Last Bachman in San Francisco.
Ooh, that's a good one. I loved Blue Jasmine.
Uh-huh.
I also like The Sweetest Thing with Cameron Diaz.
Oh. that's in like San Francisco?
That's in San Francisco, and I only remember that because she was walking uphill. And I was like, oh, wow, if you had heels and had to walk uphill.
What was that Bollywood movie filmed at the Palace of Fine Arts?
I'm so mad I'm not going to remember this, and I should know this. I know the song. I can picture it.
I can picture it, too. Shah Rukh Khan is in it.
Yes.
So you'll have to let me know.
Yeah.
What is your favorite place in the city to get a stiff drink?
In truth, I get the same drink everywhere I go. I drink a tequila soda, a splash of lime. It's
well, who makes the best tequila soda?
So I like the glassware at the Cordial. And I like a lot of the ingredients that I see that they put in other people's drinks.
That's a tough one. I don't make it out to drink very much. My husband makes really good gin and tonics at home.
Okay. Ooh. All right. So Ravina's home.
What was the last book you read?
The last physical book I read was Brave Not Perfect by Reshma Sojani. I'm big on audiobooks mm-hmm. just because I'm always walking. And right now I'm listening to Trevor Noah's Born a Crime.
Oh, I love that book.
It's
great.
So good. And he reads it, which is like the best part.
Oh, wow.
I'm in the middle of two books, How to Change Your Mind by Michael Pollan, which is fascinating. And then another book called Atomic Habits. I'm blanking on the author, mm-hmm. but fantastic also.
Okay. This is a really hard question because there are so many possible answers. But what is the worst thing that has happened under President Trump?
You're right. The first thing that comes to mind. Oh, no, there's too many.
First thing that comes to mind is good.
The first thing that comes to mind for me is kids in cages at the border. Mm-hmm. Yeah, families without borders. I mean, I don't think that, like, physically I felt comfortable living in a country where we were doing that mm-hmm. actively in my lifetime. That seems like something that I might have read about, you know, that happened in America during someone else's lifetime. And mm-hmm. I would have done something about it, but it happened during our lifetime. Mm-hmm. It continues to happen during our lifetime, and it's just hard to come to
that's
terms
the
with.
First image that comes to mind, but I will also say that the emboldening white supremacy mm-hmm. and white nationalism movement mm-hmm. I think is really dangerous and unfortunate.
It's a hard question.
Yes. If you could tell his daughter Ivanka one thing, young woman to young woman, what would it be?
That's so hard.
They're whispering that this is a hard question.
I mean, personally, I would say that I think that this is Pollock. I think she has such a big responsibility to be honest to people. And I think that she's in an uncomfortable position, right? She is the president's daughter. I don't foresee, I'm trying to be reasonable and realistic. Mm-hmm. I don't think that she would be out there, you know, advocating something against one of his policies. But I do think that she has a huge platform to continue to do good. Mm-hmm. The one area where I think perhaps her husband did help a little bit, which I don't want to give too much credit to him for this, but is criminal justice reform. Mm. One of our speakers previously was Jessica Jackson. She is the co-director of Cut 50, which is Van Jones criminal justice organizations. And it was one of the very few bipartisan acts that was passed in President Trump's administration, which is the First Step Act. Bringing people from prisons back home. And again, I think that while you might not be able to do everything I would like you to do, do as much as you can mm-hmm. to bring people together in bipartisan ways that you can.
Mm-hmm. I think I'd speak to her as a fellow mother, because that's where a lot of my motivation is coming from, mm-hmm. and just have her plead with her to think about the kind of world and example that she wants her children to live in mm-hmm. and think about things from that perspective.
If you were president, who would be in your cabinet?
Ravina.
Surgeon General.
Nadia.
Yes, definitely. Nadia would be your comms person. Andrew Yang would be in my cabinet. I do think
you're
that
part
I
of
would.
Yang gang.
I am. I'm such a Yang ganger. It's horrible. I try not to be outwardly because I want to seem tempered, but. It's
you're just
true.
Putting it out there nationally. Yeah.
I think my goal, though, would honestly be to bring people, as progressive as I am on certain issues, I want to be advised by people that can hear from both sides mm-hmm. and really try to garner what's helpful to everyone. Out here, sometimes I think that we, you know, we sit in a bubble in a lot of ways. The day after the election, we're still in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And we still have California protections and San Francisco protections. So I would look for people in the middle of the country and in more middle, having more moderate values.
Mm-hmm. I'll just ditto what Bill is
saying. So again, not electable in San Francisco.
In one or two words, what is your top issue when you go to the ballot box?
Are we talking nationally?
Sure.
Okay. Women's issues and economic issues are my two.
Reproductive rights and criminal justice reform.
Lastly, what is something you always make sure to squeeze into your busy day?
This is so not zen, but I wake up every day and while I'm taking a shower, I listen to, I ask Alexa to give me like the daily briefing. And I really do enjoy it because it's a smattering of things because you can kind of elect like what you add to it. And mm-hmm. so it's, you know, Washington Post and Wall Street Journal or
you can ask for the Chronicle headlines.
Can you really?
Yes.
Oh, see? Okay, well, I will do that. I also have like history.com on there. So it's like, what happened today in history? So that's something I don't go without.
That does not sound relaxing.
No, it's not.
I enjoy my hot cup of coffee once my kids leave for school. And I like thoroughly sit and enjoy it while reading.
Great.
That sounds awesome.
Well, thank you both so much for joining me. It was fun to talk to you.
Thank you. This was great.
Thank you to Ravina Rahal and Pollock Shaith for joining me today. By the way, a Google search answered two questions you might still have. That candidate for California treasurer was Vivek Viswanathan, and the Bollywood movie filmed in San Francisco was My Name is Khan. Thanks also to King Hoffman and Karen Creighton for producing this episode, and to you for listening. San Francisco City Insider is part of the San Francisco Chronicle podcast network. Audrey Cooper is the editor-in-chief. If you like this show, please subscribe and give us a quick review wherever you get your podcasts. Support San Francisco City Insider and a lot of great journalism with a print or digital subscription to the San Francisco Chronicle. Find out more at sfchronicle.com/subscribe.